Welcome to the King James Bible Seminary. This is the Life of Christ class. My name is Myron Boffman. I am your instructor today. We will be looking at the lesson on the 10 lepers. This is found in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 37. We'll begin with verse 11 through 13. As a beginning section. Quote, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." End quote. Jesus is now on his final journey to Jerusalem. We read in this passage that he left the Perea area and proceeded to pass through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. That means that he went between them. Samaria was on one side and Galilee was on the other. He walked on their border, more or less. The verse does not mean that he walked through the middle of them. He passed through the midst or between them. Is correct. And the path that he took was not a caravan road, but one less traveled on. As we see in the text, being more isolated, lepers inhabited the area. According to the law, they were to live away from the general population, as seen in Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. Jesus walked this path as no mistake. But he had divine purpose. It says that he entered a certain village, the name of which remains unknown to this day. It perhaps lay right on the border. There, as he was just entering the village, he was met with 10 lepers, one of which is said to be a Samaritan, or somebody from Samaria. These men didn't approach him, but yelled at him from a distance. The legal distance was that they must remain 100 paces from the general population. They knew who he was. His fame was widespread. His wisdom and miracle working couldn't be kept secret, so that even these men, social isolates, knew of him. Immediately upon seeing Jesus, they cried out for help. Here we see that they knew of their plight and recognized the only one who could help them. Unless one recognizes one's condition, the remedy will not be sought. A sinner who doesn't understand what an odious offense sin is will not seek to be rid of it. Those who know that they are sick are the ones who seek a physician. Christ was known to have healed lepers, as seen in Matthew chapter 8, verse 2, and it was part of his ministry, as seen in Matthew chapter 11, verse 5. Leprosy was considered at that time incurable and one of the worst diseases that could ever be contracted. Because of its horror and disgust, leprosy was also considered symbolic of sin. Only God could cure leprosy, and only God could forgive sin, as seen in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 7. When one realizes that there is no hope outside of God, then The only realistic response is to ask for mercy, as these men did. Let's look at verses 14 through 19, please. Quote, "And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. End quote. When Jesus told these men to go and show themselves to the priests, these men were still lepers. They had to go to the priests since the miracle didn't immediately take place, but instead, the miracle transpired as they went their way. So, they left Jesus' presence still inflicted. But, obeying his word, they saw the truth and power of that word. In similar manner, once we meet the Savior, we become more cleansed as we go along, obeying his word. One remarkable thing here that must be permanently kept in mind is that to continually return to our Savior with thanksgiving and praise. It seems that there is perhaps more given to the returning man than to the others, as seen in verse 17, which reads, quote, "Were there not 10 cleansed?" End quote. That reads to the outward, but verse 19, in reference to the returning man, says, quote, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." End quote. That would include the inner man also. So, that he was not only cleansed outwardly, but he was made whole inwardly by his faith. There are many who are outwardly cleansed by their acts of obedience, but it is faith and thankfulness that makes one whole. Now, we come to a section of popular debate. When shall the kingdom of God arrive? That's the question. There are many today who keep their eyes on the Middle East and developments in Jerusalem and Israel. Some anxiously await the so-called sign of the red heifer, which isn't really a given sign at all. And they await the rebuilding of the temple. However, we will see here, as before, the kingdom of God is not confined to a small area in the Middle East, but is world-encompassing. Nor is it something to be observed, but rather secretive and quiet in development. Those involved in it are aware of it, but don't know exactly its workings or extent of its growth and development. Verses 20 through 24. Quote, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo, here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall see it not. And they shall say to you, see here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them, for as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. End quote. These words are well ignored by those who desperately seek after end time signs. Obviously, if the kingdom of God is within you, it is not easily outwardly seen. Christ's kingdom is not of this world, according to John 18:36, but is spiritual. Then, of course, the final words of Christ before he left us were, quote, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. End quote. So, these things about the end times are not for us to know, and it is probably best not to speculate. Many of these signs have been around for a long time, and some have repeated themselves in history. That apostate Israel has come back into existence back in the 20th century is significant, but of what significance we won't know unless God himself shows us. These matters are not given to us to know and understand, so that we need to follow Christ's advice, which is, quote, they shall say to you, see here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. End quote. Very important advice. Note, next he says, as for the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven, shineth unto the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man in his day, which means his coming will be like a lightning bolt, which is unpredictable in when and where it will develop and strike. Modern science can somewhat predict lightning storms, but nevertheless, it has no control over them whatsoever. We are to be wary of those who pretend to know more about these things than what is plainly given in Scripture. These types of people are only interested in stringing you along for their own profit. Those who seek after signs are all too often, they have left behind in their quest the Great Commission that the Lord has specifically given to us, that is, the church. The Great Commission is, quote, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. End quote. It's found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. The Great Commission seems to leave out sensationalism and the seeking after of futuristic signs and wonders. Now, Jesus gave next a description of the familiarities between end times found in the Old Testament, such as the time of Noah, and in another way that of Lot. Quote, that the kingdom is among you, end quote, also means that the kingdom is already here and is spiritual. That seems to be hard for people to grasp. The one who spoke those words was Christ, who at that time was and is the reigning King. His rising to heaven did not remove the kingdom to heaven, but it remains among us, his followers, and inheritors of the kingdom. Now, we see the effects of that kingdom by the crumbling and destruction of worldly kingdoms. Only his kingdom will eventually remain. All others will be hand-sifted out by God through time. This can be viewed as perhaps a very long process, but nevertheless a sure thing of providence. Though Christianity seems to suffer serious setbacks the world over, many times over history, yet, nevertheless, we understand through the book of Revelation that God is in charge, and he will bring about his own kingdom by his own power. We are to trust him for it. And let me repeat that. We are to trust him for it. We are pilgrims traveling the path that he set before us in the kingdom. We, like the lepers, are to only obey by faith and be thankful. Christ illustrated the similarities of the end time of Noah and that of Lot with that of the coming of his messianic kingdom. This pointed the Pharisees to look to their future, which was the destruction of the temple as well as the destruction of the entire nation of Israel by the Romans in 70 AD. Though the nation was destroyed, yet the kingdom of Christ remained through the lives of his believers. When the Romans came in and surrounded the city of Jerusalem to destroy it, as clearly described in verse 37, the Christians had already evacuated to Pella and survived the slaughter. The verse reads, quote, "And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together." End quote. The eagle, as with America, was the chosen symbol of the Roman Empire. The banners that the Romans carried in front of their legions bore the sign of the eagle. So, Christ warned both his disciples as well as the Pharisees that when they saw the Roman army gather and then surround the carcass or dead body of Israel as a nation, that is when and where their end was coming, like Sodom and like the world of Noah. It would be destroyed. Christians in Jerusalem were to flee the city and not even consider coming back. As the heeding about Remember Lot's Wife teaches. Two in a bed, one taken. Two in a meal, one taken. Two in a field, one taken. Shows the saving power of divine intervention and particular election. Christians are to make their escape and leave the world behind, not looking back. To do so is to stay safe and away from the world. When the temple was destroyed, the tie between Judaism and Christianity was destroyed also. Christians no longer would or could worship in Jewish centers of worship, especially the temple. It is worth noting that the unbeliever does not heed warnings given in Scripture concerning both the future of the world as well as their own personal future. To them, it is something to be scoffed at. Believers are to be careful in heeding all the appropriate warnings given, because judgment begins in the house of the Lord. We are to be always ready, for we know not the time in which He will call for us. Where, Lord? The question. They had inquired concerning the time, and He would not gratify their curiosity with any information concerning that. They therefore tried with another question. Where, Lord? Where shall those be safe that are taken? Or where shall those perish that are left? There are two sides to the question. Now, the answer is proverbial and may be explained so as to answer each side of that question. Wheresoever the body is, there will be the eagles gathered together. Now, on the one side of the answer to the question, wherever the wicked are, that is, those who are marked for perdition, they shall be found out by the judgments of God, as wherever a dead carcass is, the birds of prey will smell it out and make a prey of it. Now, the Jews, having made themselves a dead and putrefying carcass, odious to God's holiness and obnoxious to His justice, wherever any of that unbelieving generation was, the judgment of God fastened upon them, as the eagles do upon the prey. The destruction of Jerusalem was a result of the sins of the nation. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Psalm 21, verse 8. Though they set their nests among the stars. Obadiah 1, 4. The Roman soldiers did hunt the Jews out of all the recesses and fastnesses and places to hide, and none escaped. Now, on the other side of the answer, concerning the godly, the Christian, those who trusted in the words of Christ and took His warnings to heart, wherever the godly are, who are marked for preservation, they shall be found happy in the enjoyment of Christ. As the dissolution, as the decimation of the Jewish faith, the synagogues and the temple was extended on all parts so that the entire nation was destroyed. In contrast to that, the constitution of the Christian church became firm and established. Wherever Christ is, believers will flock to Him and meet in Him as equals about the prey, without having been directed or shown the way by the instinct of the new nature within them. Now, Christ is where His gospel and His ordinances and His church are. For where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst of them. And where, therefore, others will be gathered to Him. The kingdom of the Messiah is not to have one particular place for its metropolis or capital, such as Jerusalem was to the Jewish church, to which all the Jews were to resort. But wherever the body is, wherever the gospel is preached and ordinances are ministered, there will pious souls resort. There they will find Christ. And it will be such until the end of the age, for his kingdom is forever and has no end. With that, let's close with a word of prayer, please. Gracious Father, we thank thee for this thy word, how it is infallible and trustworthy, and we can have our faith in it. Thank thee for the testimony of the lepers and the example of returning back to thee. We ask thee that you'll cause us to be ever mindful and ever thankful. We ask that you'll cause us to serve thee well because of what you have done for us. And we pray now that for the listeners of thy word, that they will gain wisdom and knowledge and understanding that they might serve thee better. We ask that you'll build your kingdom through us. Give us strength, O Lord, and wisdom, and watch over your church. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the one who has died for us. Amen.